ladies and gentlemen, from the positions in Christ. Thank you back here again about the time and the promise of God to engage in the discussion of the Bible. The first thing that I'd like to do is like Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and to have the question to pass, I'd like to tell us in this next speech. Is the belief mentioned in Mark 16:16 as an adjective? Before he answers that, he says no. Well, therefore, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved excludes confession and repentance for your answer to the question. You're saying the belief there is not a technical. It's not a connected piece. That's what you said in your Bible. So therefore, you're saying that in Mark 16:16, repentance and confession is excluded. Now, I want to know, in that verse, is repentance and confession excluded? You're saying that it is excluded because it's not included in the word faith. And if you come back up and change your opinion, says, oh, he says, he that believes in his baptized shall be saved, the faith that includes repentance and confession, then it is a synecdoche. Right? It either is or it's not. He says it's not. If it is a synecdoche, meaning that faith is in the faith in Mark 16:16 includes repentance, then it's a synecdoche. And I'll tell you that that synecdoche excludes baptism. That synecdoche excludes baptism, which is in my position in the first part of this debate, is that the faith mentioned in the scriptures includes love for God, submit to Christ, trust, repent, and call upon the name of the Lord. So therefore, he is forced into saying that faith in Mark 16:16 is a synecdoche, a practice word that excludes baptism. Now, the other question that I have for Mark 16:16 is, what you've already said, he says that Mark 16:16 is talking about the new birth, initial salvation, and it is not talking about initial salvation. The reason is because the text says, he that believes not shall be damned. Meaning in the future, at the judgment day, he's not talking about initial salvation, he's talking about salvation at the end, chronologically. He that believes that is baptized shall be saved. All talking about the future in the day of judgment when Christ returns all things stand before him. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, how do I know that? Well, Jesus said in John 3 that he that believes not is condemned already. But some of the fact that he that believes not shall be condemned. So he's talking about not initial salvation. So until you get up and prove and answer the objection right, that passage is not even dealing with your proposition. You were talking about, you made a big point on this, so you were talking about initial salvation, okay? Then we don't need to be addressing Mark 16:16. Now, I agree that people who are saying that the word faith, who are repenting of their sins, there are things that follow after that pertain to their sanctification, their continued growth in Christ. So, you get up and answer and prove that he's talking about initial salvation or the new birth in itself. Now let's turn to 1 Peter 3:21. And I'm going to be referring to what I think is passage, and all this passage from our first discussion. And of course, anytime God is misrepresented, he can say so, that I have the transcript and also have the tape of the debate here. Let's start with verse 20. With some time we're just to begin. When one for all the suffering of God, waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, a soul, were saved by or in water. The life came. That comes from the Greek word anthropos. And it seems that it translates life came.
Is the truth, the reality, where Noah's baptism is the art of the picture. Noah's baptism is the type, or the past,
demonstration baptism is the real, the reality of our current history of time. Don't ever try to perform in this word is used. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is our Lord.
Verse 2.
But then, when they not receive the offer, because the worshipers want courage to have no more conscious heart of sin, that is a good conscience. And when a person is baptized, it is the appeal, it is that which satisfies that already clean and good conscience. Now, Peter expressly denies the interpretation that adds to the arm. This passage, he does not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That is something that all Peter says is, it doesn't remove the dirt from your body. It's not just the ordinary diet that you take every day. Well, that being the case, if we're Christ, we have to contrast that. Why not take off the filth of the body? Why not take away the filth of the soul? If Peter is saying, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but it does put away the filth of the spirit. No, the contrast is, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, not that we're actually putting your sin, but that your thoughts take it off. He would say, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but that it gives you the good conscience that is the conversation. And that the life Savior wearing possession of the live off of our places. No one in his family were saved in the arms of the waters of the flood. Any soul were saved by water or in water. They were saved from death because they were in the ark. So the ark that was the instrument, the means of their deliverance. The water only demonstrated their great insecurity in the ark, lifting the ark above the destruction of the suffering of the flood. So it was prepared the life of the saving of the town. They were saved with the ark. Now, the water demonstrates their safety. In the same manner, 1 Corinthians 3:15, the ark demonstrated their safety in the same way that fire demonstrates man's work of what sort it is. Let's read that passage. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall fire every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work of life be of filth thereon, he shall receive of the Lord. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That is, by the fruit of fire. Saved by fire, parallel saved by water. In meaning, both parties in the monster, that's not the gratuitous sense. The fire has manifest, verse 13, declared, verse 13, revealed, verse 13, and fire transport all into the monster's sense. Save. Yet, so as by fire means that the same man, the losing in the earth, will be revealed as the same man. The fire doesn't procure his salvation, but revealed it. Likewise, though a safety in the ark was revealed in our presence, declared when it was fired by the water. The ark did the best. The water did not secure the safety, but declared it, manifested it. That is said in this passage to be a live figure of those deliverance by means of the ark entering the flood. Baptism also reveals our faith and declares salvation because it testifies to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3:21, which is our lively hope. The only way the baptism saves is in the demonstrative sense. By the way, look at Noah, the ark of the picture of Christ. He did it in the ark, the place of faith. And the waters of the flood demonstrated the strength and security of that place. And we enter into Christ. And it is in that sense that it is demonstrated, our security is demonstrated. Now, let's go to Colossians, chapter 2. How much time do I have? Okay, Colossians 2.
Here in Romans 6:4.
followed by the associates and the Israel case. Players like the one say, quote, all who in the right of baptism are brought under the water, thereby declare. Did you get that? Just like the fire declares, means what sort it is. Thereby declare, as they could say, in the age before death of Christ, for the part of the baptism. I would agree with that on that. Yes. Robinson says, as all future says also, this word is full of vivid picture of baptism as a symbolic burial with Christ, just like the Father prayed again, and you admitted that it was. Yes, Paul gives a vivid picture of baptism as a symbolic burial with Christ and resurrection, also to signify in him, as Paul shows, by the addition wherein he will also raise from him. He goes on to say, in the symbol of baptism, the resurrection to new life in Christ is pictured with an allusion to Christ's own resurrection as to our final resurrection. And it is not going to say that the new life in Christ is called or created by the act of baptism. That is closely to understand him. The Gnostic and the Judaizers were such fundamentalists, and that's all this is to look at baptism and put your faith in it and know everything I agree. That tries to teach you a child of God. The Gnostics, and the Judaizers were sacramentalists, but not so called the champion of spiritual Christianity. He had just given the spiritual interpretation, the circumcision, which itself followed Abraham's grace in Romans 4:10-12, and Galatians 3:27. Baptism is a picture of the change already wrought in the heart. God has power to raise Christ from the dead. The fact is that he has power by faith. I'll make it clear from that passage that he misunderstands. He confuses the symbol with reality. Now, analogy or comparison with the Lord's Supper. We ask them the basic question, can one receive the benefit from of a symbol without partaking of the symbol for instance? He agrees, he does agree with this, that you eat the flesh of Christ and drink his blood. He says that occurs when you baptize. I disagree with that. I believe it occurs when you receive the gospel and believe in Christ. By faith, that's when you begin to eat and eat Christ. But still, he believes that truly and really, you eat Christ by spirit of blood when you baptize. Well, then, when you go later, you partake of the Lord's Supper, etc. You agree that the Lord is truly and really the symbol. You have the reality which is pointed to before you enjoy the symbol. The same way in baptism, you first enjoy the actual remission of sin, the actual resurrection of life, and then baptism is the symbol and not the picture of that which has already occurred. You've got to believe that that's true with regard to the Lord's Supper. Because you've admitted that you need Christ like you drink his blood. So that the Lord's Supper is not as real as what you are. Where did it come from? Did you really eat the flesh of Christ in baptism and then later? You do that in a symbol. What? Now, this was the same way in Acts 22:16. Well, Ananias says to Paul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. I desire, ladies and gentlemen, that baptism washes away sins in the same sense as the blood of Christ does. You have several passages. Christ says in Acts 22:48, this is my blood shed for the remission of sin. Be baptized for the remission of sin. But not in the same sense. If those who receive that word want to wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Christ, if those two statements are to be interpreted equally as both being literal remission of sin, then you should say there's two things that can wash away my sins, the blood and baptism. One is literal, it's reality, it is the blood of Christ that washes away sins, and this over here is the picture of it. It is the something.